ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् देवाय तस्मै नमः. ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः. अक्षरब्रह्मयोगो नाम अष्टमोऽध्यायः. दिस् एय्थ् चाप्टर् आल्सो इस् अ स्माल् चाप्टर् अण्ड् ऐ सेड् दिस् चाप्टर् विच् बिगिन्स् वित् द वर्ड् अक्षरम् डिफैनिङ्ग् ब्रह्म इस् नाट् अक्षरब्रह्मयोगः अण्ड् इस् ओन्ली चाप्टर् Bhagavan Krishna specifically discusses the upasanam, the discipline of upasanam and upasana phalam. Upasanam is a saguna brahma upasanam. Saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. Upasanam is defined technically as saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. So meditation upon the Lord with attributes is saguna brahma upasanam. And the upasanam itself, the very word upasanam means what? Upa-asanam. Upa means samipe, near. Asanam means being seated. So being seated near. Upasanam means being seated near. But being seated near what, whom? Here, being seated near the Lord is called upasanam. So being seated near the Lord means not physically sitting near the Lord, but placing our attention of the mind upon the Lord, placing the attention of the mind in the Lord. So focusing on attention upon the Lord, thinking of the Lord, entertaining the thought pertaining to the Lord is upasanam, which means our object of our focus is only Bhagavan, Ishwaraha. It is saguna brahma, it is upasanam. Here again, it is not Ishwara swarupa upasanam. If it is swarupam, if attention is focused upon Ishwara swarupam, obtaining as our own swarupam, it is called nirguna brahma upasanam, which is otherwise called nididhyasanam, contemplation. But in this chapter, Krishna discusses only Saguna Brahma Upasanam. So Saguna Brahma Upasanam, what is the benefit? I already said, it is for calming the restless mind. It is for converting the unsteady mind into a steady mind. So Saguna Brahma Upasanam will help anyone whoever practices it to have a certain degree of mental steadiness. As a pre-preparation, as a preparatory discipline for the attainment of jnanam. As a pre-preparation for actual contemplation. Therefore, it says Saguna Brahma Upasanam also is a pre-preparatory discipline. And here again, the same Saguna Brahma Upasanam that can be seen as a sakama upasanam, it can be seen as nishkama upasanam also. When do we call this meditation saguna brahma upasanam as sakama upasanam? When do we call it nishkama upasanam? The upasanam also, like performing any fire ritual or doing any puja, upasanam also can be practiced, with the purusharthanischeha or without purusharthanischeha. So Shastra makes it very clear, if a person practices this upasanam in order to prepare his mind, in order to have a steady mind as a preparation for the attainment of jnanam, and having moksha as the ultimate goal with the purusharthanischeha, for him knowledge of Bhagavan becomes the ultimate end. Then that upasana becomes nishkama upasanam, which means his practice of meditation is purely for preparing his mind for the attainment of jnanam, which itself is mokshaha. Which means his interest is only in Bhagavan. And he is not really practicing his upasanam with an intention of having more punyam to accumulate other arthakamas. For him, the ultimate aim is not material benefits or material ends. It is nothing wrong in aspiring for material ends, but if a person is very mature, if he has a purushartha nischeha, if he knows the value of the jnanam, and if he is not really, he knows the limitations of arthakamas, then he will, if a person can practice meditation without having any interest in attaining arthakamas, he can practice this purely for preparation, for preparing this mind for attainment of jnanam. And that is, then such a meditation practiced as a preparation for attainment of jnanam, not for any arthakama dharmas, then it is a nishkama upasanam. Suppose there are people who do worship, who are very religious, highly religious, who worship and pray and who perform rituals, elaborate rituals they perform. They also practice meditation seriously and they're called yogis, but they're not interested in jnanam. They're not interested in moksha because for them they want to have earned more punyam, tap Bhagavan's grace and have arthakamas. So the interest is only in arthakamas. Not only the arthakamas accomplishable in this world, but they're also interested in enjoying the pleasures of higher worlds. So, if a person's ultimate end is not jnanam, anything other than jnanam, whether it is pleasures enjoyable in this world or pleasures enjoyable in higher worlds, whatever it is, anything other than jnanam and moksha, then the priority is that and his upasana becomes sakama upasanam. Sakama upasanam. So definitely if a person seriously practices meditation, living a life of dharma, definitely he will be able to, he'll be blessed with the ends he aspires for. There's no doubt. If he strictly follows this discipline of meditation. Suppose a person practices nishkama upasanam, nishkama saguna brahma upasanam, which means the person who lives his whole life practicing nishkama saguna brahma upasanam. He practices meditation always. Always he is thinking of Bhagavan. He does not know shastram. He would not have heard, he would not have done shravanam or mananam. So he is not eligible for nididhyasanam. There is no jnana yoga at all in his life. He is typically a genuine bhakta who is always thinking of Bhagavan, remembers Bhagavan, for him, somehow he knows for me Bhagavan is the ultimate end. So he prays to Bhagavan, worships Bhagavan, meditates upon Bhagavan. No, but without knowing anything about Shravanam or Mananam. But still his interest is only in jnanam and moksha. And such a person upasanam, which is nishkama upasanam, a person lives his whole life meditating upon Bhagavan, thinking of Bhagavan, entertaining only thoughts pertaining to Bhagavan, living a life of dharma, such a person, at the time of death also, he'll think only of Bhagavan. And if you think only of Bhagavan, such a person, the palam is given here, he will Acha person also a serious upasakaha, nishkama upasakaha, who would have lived a life of meditation, therefore who also is thinking only of Bhagavan at the time of death, and he has earned abundance of punyam that he will be eligible to travel through shuklagatihi, solar path or bright path, thereby he'll attain Brahma Loka, and even this upasaka dies as ajnani upasakaha. He lived as an ajnani upasaka. He dies as ajnani upasaka. He was a bhakta, but he did not know Bhagavan. Ajnani Upasaka, ignorant Upasaka, and he traveled. This punyam enables him to travel through bright path, Shukla Gatihi, solar path, and he reaches Brahmaloka. There, and the Shravanam, which he must have, was supposed to have done, and he can have Shravanam, and he can have the Swarupa Jnanam in Brahmaloka, and there he attains Muktihi, which means that Mukti is called a Krama Muktihi, and such a person also will not return to this world. He also will not attain, he will also not have Punarjanma. This is the actually Upasana Phalam, and it is highlighted in this particular chapter, 8th chapter. So Krama Muktihi alone is emphasized in this chapter. Why Bhagavan wants to talk about it? Does Bhagavan want to tell us that we should all aspire for Krama Muktihi? No. Bhagavan says, even if you cannot do anything else, at least living a life of Dharma, having Bhagavan as your ultimate goal, always be thinking of Bhagavan, somehow that constantly thinking of Bhagavan is a Jignyasu Bhakta. You are not studying the Shastram, understanding Bhagavan, but you always aspire for what? I want Jnanam, hey Bhagavan, I want Jnanam. You're not studying Shastram, not understand, trying to understand anything. I want Jnanam, I want Mukti, I want to know Bhagavan. With that thought, with a desire to know Bhagavan, if you are worshipping Bhagavan, if you are also meditating upon Bhagavan as the one with the attribute, Saguna Brahma Upasakaha, but your ultimate goal is Bhagavan, only then such a person can go to Brahmaloka, attain Krama Muktihi. But Bhagavan does not really encourage, Bhagavan does not really emphasize Krama Muktihi. Only in the one chapter he talks about Saguna Brahma Upasanam, and how Saguna Brahma Upasanam also as Nishkama Upasanam will bless one with the Jnanam. In Brahmaloka, one can attain Krama Muktihi mentions. But in the rest of the chapters, if you take from, as I said, after 6th chapter, this Madhyama Shatkam. Madhyama Shatkam means the second set of 6 chapters, beginning from 7th chapter till the 12th chapter. 7th to the 12th. In 6 chapters, Madhyama Shatkam, the Ishwaraha is the subject matter. Ishwara Swarupam is the subject matter of the main subject matter of the 6 chapters. This as the second part. Madhyama Shatkam. And there, and the next discipline emphasized is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Of course, Ishwara's Anugraha, grace of Ishwara also is discussed. Is them. 3 main topics are discussed here. Ishwara Swarupam, the essential nature of Ishwara, the Lord, the whole, and also Upasanam as a meditation. Ishwara Upasanam as a pre-preparatory discipline for steadying the mind, and also Ishwara Kripa, Ishwara Anugraha, the grace of Ishwara, are 3 topics mainly discussed here. And this only chapter where Krishna emphasizes, just discusses the Saguna Brahma Upasanam, and Saguna Brahma Upasanam practiced as Nishkama Upasanam, how it will result in the attainment of Krama Mukti also he talks about. But all other of the 6 chapters, except the 8th chapter, in other 5 chapters, 7, 9, 10, 11 and 12, in all these chapters, Krishna only emphasizes the Nirguna Brahma, the understanding of the absolute reality implied by the term Nirguna Brahma, which is Ishwara Swarupam. And there he only emphasizes understanding the Ishwara Swarupam here now in this life itself, while living this life itself, is what actually Swarup, knowledge of one's own Swarupam, which is Sadyo Muktihi, or Jivan Muktihi. And Krishna emphasizes attainment of Swarupa Jnanam here in this life, Ishwara Swarupam as one's own Swarupam. Understanding Ishwara Swarupam as one's own Swarupam in this very life, thereby attaining Sadyo Muktihi, Jivan Muktihi, discovering freedom while living, is the alone is emphasized in all the chapters. Okay, only in this 8th chapter, Krishna also as part of the teaching that is also there in our Shastram. So going to heaven is not only other people's ideas, we also have heaven going idea, but here still, and we still more information is given here. Other people do not talk about the moksha, and here our Shastram says it is attainment of jnanam and moksha muktihi is possible even if a person practices saguna brahma upasanam. No, as an ishkama upasanam, as the one with the clear understanding of moksha as the ultimate goal and jnanam. Let me tell you now. So here we have seen 18th verse, now next is 19th verse. Om Bhutagramasaye Vayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Bhutagramasaye Vayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratya Gamevashav Partha Ratya Gamevashav Partha Prabhavatyaharagami Bhutagramasaye Vayam Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate Ratyagamevashav Partha Prabhavatyaharagami. And last class we saw how this Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, this, the individual who lives a life of meditation, who practices Nishkama Saguna Brahma Upasanam, meditates upon Isha as the one with the attributes, goes to Brahma Loka. We understood. But here, what is Saguna Brahma? Even Sagunam Brahma is actually Saguna Brahma. Here we say even Hiranyagarbha also is discussed here. So Hiranyagarbha. So what is the time duration of the entire subtle universe? How long does this subtle manifestation exist? And when does subtle manifestation resolve? And when does it again become manifest? So that this time is given. And I think you all would have got note. Radhanaji has, I think, emailed Tara, and Tara must have sent to all of you. And we saw what is one day of Brahma. What is one day of Brahma and what are four yugas? We saw how four yugas are there and how the number of years of each yuga and the total number of years of four yugas and how and then the 1004 yugas, okay, constitute one day of Hiranyagarbha and four yugas constitute one night of Hiranyagarbha. So to 2000, no, they form the night of 2000 yugas, four yugas together constitute the day of Hiranyagarbha. And we saw that number of the day and what is like that. Hiranyagarbha has 100 years. So one day of Hiranyagarbha we should know to calculate the 1 year of the 100 years of Hiranyagarbha. So 100 years, and how long Hiranyagarbha stays. And once that period is over, and Hiranyagarbha also what resolves, which means even Hiranyagarbha also is subject to change. Only the difference is what? Long day, very long night, therefore longest life. And compared to human life, Hiranyagarbha's life is incomparably longest life. But Hiranyagarbha also is subject to change. What does it mean? There is a time Hiranyagarbha also resolves. Again, That's the, again, it comes back. So that we saw in the previous verse, which means in this eighth chapter, we saw Bhagavan Krishna also discusses the Purusharthas. Two forms of Purusharthas. Where does he discuss here? In this same chapter, after the 15th verse. Okay? In fact, 15th verse onwards until the 22nd verse. We have been seeing that now. Bhagavan Krishna is actually discusses the twofold Purusharthas. Twofold Purusharthas means twofold ends accomplishable by a human being. So in these verses, after the 15th, from the 15th verse until the 22nd verse, Bhagavan is actually discussing twofold ends accomplishable by a human being. One end accomplishable through the performance of karma. Accomplishable means by performing various activities. By performing various activities means by performing secular, worldly, mundane activities. By performing religious, Vedic rituals, sacred rituals, you know, a person can accomplish the end. And here, and all those activities, secular, sacred activities, scripture enjoined rituals, and the other secular activities. So from all these different types of various activities, definitely will bless one with number of results. That is one, so results, the ends accomplishable as result of performing these activities, secular, sacred activities. We call them Laukika Karma Phalam, Vaidika Karma Phalam. That is the result accomplished as Laukika Vaidika Karma Phalam. That is one end. Then, the other end is accomplishable as a result of practicing purely manasam karma, that is nishkama upasanam. Nishkama upasanam. Nishkama upasanam is what? Practicing meditation, having moksha as an ultimate goal. So meditating upon Ishvara as a mental activity. So that those physical kayikam karma, there's also manasam karma. And this also blesses one with a result, an end. But what is made here clear is, so upasanam is purely a mental activity, and other activities are physical, oral, mental activities. In other physical, oral activities, mind is involved, but in mental activity, body and speech are not involved. So, we can say, they separate these twofold activities, manasam karma and kayikam vachikam karma. And in this kayikam karma, in a physical activity, physical oral activities where mind is involved can be secular and sacred activities, religious activities. And then this is manasam karma. But what is made clear is, any karma phalam, whether it is a physical activity, oral activity, or even a mental activity, even the result of meditation as a mental activity is definitely time-bound in nature. It means meditation cannot bless you with an infinite end called moksha. That is made very clear. Therefore, what is it which can bless us with absolute, the infinite everlasting result, timeless result? That is moksha. Only jnanam can bless us with that everlasting result. That's also, even though jnanam is not at all discussed here in this chapter, only upasana phalam is discussed. Upasana and upasana phalam specifically highlighted here. I wanted to remind you that, sir. Anyway, so highest end that can be accomplished as a result of meditation also is what? Whatever activity you perform, the highest karma phalam, what is that most exalted, highest result which can be accomplished as a result of karma, any karma? That is attainment of Brahma Lokaha. So Brahma Loka Prapti Hireva, is the highest result. There, so attainment of Brahma Loka, if you ask what is going to Brahma Loka, how does Brahma Loka look? Who is Brahmaji there? It's not a place where somebody is sitting and we are going there. It is, Shastram discusses this. One even has a status of being Hiranyagarbha, means one remains in subtle form. A person who practices meditation, Saguna Brahma Upasanam throughout as an Ishkama Upasanam, that person does not assume a physical body again. Because the punyam he has, he can remain in subtle form for a very long time. That's God attaining the position of the status of Brahmaji or Hiranyagarbha. Attaining the status of Hiranyagarbha. Without assuming a gross physical body, but without having the jnanam also, without having attained moksha, without having assumed physical body, if a person can remain in subtle form for a very long time, that is said to be being one with Hiranyagarbha. And during that time, a person becomes eligible for attaining the jnanam there, attaining krama muktihi. From that status, one, without coming back to this world, assuming a body, one attains krama muktihi. Anyway, but still, going to Brahmaloka, one doesn't need to come back. And accomplishment of Brahma Loka is possible. Your person has very specific special punyam for which one must have lived whole life. A person's mind must have been only upon Bhagavan. So Saguna Brahma Upasanam, living a life of Saguna Brahma Upasanam also is not that easy. Upasana means not that one day I think of Bhagavan in the morning and then that's all finished. Not like that. Not once a week, not the two days a week, always a person must have lived a life of meditation. Only then a person will be eligible to attain Brahmaloka. And one can have punyam to be able to attain Brahmaloka. Anyway, what is made clear is karma palam is time bound. You can attain Jivan Muktihi, Sadhya Muktihi, just by living life of Saguna Brahma Upasanam. That Shastra makes it very, very, very clear here. So we saw previously how one day of Brahma is 2000 Chaturyugas from one day of Brahma. And then like this, even though relatively much longest, it's a relatively infinite life Brahma has. But it is not absolutely infinite. So Hiranyagarbha's life also is not absolutely eternal infinite life, but relatively seemingly eternal, relatively eternal seemingly infinite life. Which means there'll be a time even Hiranyagarbha has to resolve. that is also something which is non, we cannot, it's not something very, we can verify it. But the days are calculated and mentioned in the Shastra. Okay. Now here, we saw this in the 18th verse earlier. In the 19th verse, Bhagavan says, so when Hiranyagarbha resolves also, again Hiranyagarbha comes back, has to manifest. So becomes unmanifest, again becomes a manifest. Exactly how we fall asleep and wake up from sleep, Hiranyagarbha also, after 1000 Chaturyugas, he falls asleep. After 1000 Chaturyugas, he wakes up. Okay, 1000, after 1000 Chaturyugas, he keeps awake. Hiranyagarbha is there. At 1000 Chaturyugas, he falls asleep. Again, he is in sleep for 1000 Chaturyugas. Again, he wakes up. Therefore, so Bhagavan says here, Bhutagramaha, Bhutagramasayevayam, Bhutva bhutva praliyate ratryagame vashav partha prabhavatyaharagame. So, bhutva bhutva praliyate saha eva ayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. Here, saha eva ayam means what? Saha eva means that same Hiranyagarbha means what here? You have to say, here, saha here means bhutagramaha. Saha bhutagramaha. The saha bhuta, see, bhutam means being. Bhutam means being. Bhutagramaha means gramaha, you know, the word village. Means it's a accumulation of beings, multitude of beings, groups of beings. It's called Bhutagramaha. So village is a place where groups of beings live. So the word is called Gramaha. But here Bhutagramaha, so as a village is a place where groups of beings live, and here we say Bhutagramaha here means a group of beings. Means a huge multitude of beings. So Bhutagramaha. Sahayeva Bhutagramaha. Means the very same huge group of beings, the huge multitude of beings. Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. Bhutva means what? Bhutva again repeats again. Having become, come into existence, going back, again becoming manifest, again they alone resolve. Praliyante, mean what they again go back, they resolve, they merge. Also, this the huge multitude of beings come into existence, again having lived there, again they resolve, they merge. Sahayeva Bhutagramaha Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. Not a new set of beings do not come. The same beings, the very same beings come into existence, they go back, come into existence and go back. Repeatedly it is happening. That is why that repetition is implied by this two, the indicable participles. Bhutva, bhutva. When do these beings, when does this group of beings, or when do these multitudes of beings, know again and again they resolve? When do they resolve? When do they merge? Ratriagami. Ratriagami. Ratri ஆகமஹா, ராத்திரி ஆகமஹா, ராத்திரி ஆகமஹா. ராத்திரி ஆகமே, when the night comes, whose night? No, ராத்திரி ஆகமே at the time of Brahma, the arrival of Brahma's night, Hiranyagarbha's night, or on the arrival of the night of Hiranyagarbha, Brahmanaha ratryagame, Hiranyagarbhasya ratryagame. That is implied. Okay? Hiranyagarbhasya ratryagame. So when Hiranyagarbha's night arrives, at the time of arrival of Hiranyagarbha's night, ratryagame, all these beings, again, they resolve, they merge. So Hiranyagarbha's night is our pralaya. When our sleep is our laya. When we fall asleep, it is our laya. When Hiranyagarbha's sleep is our pralaya. So all the beings resolve, merge when the night of Hiranyagarbha arrives. Ratryagame Bhutagramaha Praliyate. Bhutagramaha Ratryagame Praliyate. And Sahayeva Bhutagramaha, the same multitudes of beings. What happened? Aharagame, when the day comes, when the Hiranyagarbha's day or Brahmaji's day arrives, the day comes, day dawns, aharagame prabhavati. They alone, again, all the beings which have merged, and resolved, and they emerge, they emanate, they come into beings. They come into being again. They come into existence. Prabhavati. Aharagame prabhavati. The sloka says, aharagame, ratryagame paliyante, aharagame prabhavati. Aharagame prabhavati, ratryagame praliyate. Kasya. When the whose night comes, whose day comes. You know, Hiranyagarbhasya, it's understood. So, Hiranyagarbhasya, when Hiranyagarbha's day comes, day dawns, all the same multitudes of beings originate, come into existence. And again, when the Hiranyagarbha's night comes, all the beings resolve. Which resolves? Bhutagramaha. Saha eva bhutagramaha. Bhutva praliyate. Ratryagame praliyate. Aharagame prabhavati. Which means it is made very clear here. No being really dies. That is why we perform shraddham. When somebody dies, why do we perform shraddham? Because there's no real death. Physical body gets disintegrated, which is called relative destruction. What happens to sukshma? Sukshma does not die at all. Sthulam gets disintegrated. When the power of the karma phalam ends, sthula shairam gets disintegrated. Again, it goes back to elements. It is also not destroyed totally. It is relative destruction. Like, you know, the piece of wood which burns and becomes coal and becomes ashes and becomes one with the soil, our physical body also becomes one with the elements. You know, disintegration, panchatva praptihi, death is called panchatva praptihi because body gets disintegrated. You know, this nice way of Vaidika Shabda. Somebody died means we say panchatva praptihi. Panchatva means what? Becoming five. The body gets disintegrated into five elements. It's called relative destruction. It's not total destruction, which is only a change. But what happens to Sukshma Shariram? Nothing happens. Sukshma Shariram continues to exist. This all the Sukshma Shariram's, you know, every time Parabdha gets exhausted, we go and come, we go and come, go and come. But even then, suppose, you know, every day, even when we die also, when we go back also, we come back within Hiranyagarbha's one day itself, we come many times. Suppose you continue to be ignorant. What happens when Hiranyagarbha, after, you know, 1000 Chaturyugas of time, you would have come so many times, but exhausted so much of Parabdha. The 1004 Yugas time, and Hiranyagarbha himself resolves, what happens? All the multitudes of the beings, all of them resolve, and again, Aharagame, when his day dawns, all the beings again come into existence. Which is called what? Srishtihi and Pralayaha. So Hiranyagarbha's day is Srishtihi, Hiranyagarbha's night is Pralaya. Samashti Pralaya, isn't it? When our death is what? Our death is Vyashti Pralaya. Vyashti Pralaya is our death. Samashti Pralaya is all the beings together dissolving. And then what is our layaha? Our sleep is laya. Anyway, what is made clear is Sukshma does not die. The mind does not die. It comes back. Nobody can kill the mind. Mind will come back again and again and again and again. It will come back. So as long as mind is coming back, mind is said to be in samsara. But for all these things to happen, there must be some adhara, substratum, that is Atma. Atma does not come, does not go, does nothing happens to Atma. It's all happening in Atma. That, you know, the pralaya happens in Atma. Atma, there is called Brahma. Param Brahma. Srishti happens in Brahma. Sthiti happens in Brahma. Pralaya happens in Brahma. Atma. In Atma, all these things are happening. Atma has nothing happened in the part of Atma. So here, so Sukshma survives. The Sukshma does not undergo any change. Change the sense, there's no such a thing called, doesn't disappear, like Sthulam. How Sthula Rupam disappears? Like that Sukshma Rupam does not disappear. Okay. So it is made very clear here. Sahayeva bhutagramaha, bhutva bhutva, ratryagame praliyate, aharagame prabhavati. So, bhutagramasayevayam, bhutva bhutva praliyate, ratryagame vashavpartha, prabhavatyaharagame. Here, no avashaha, an important word. No avashaha. Avashaha means choicelessly, helplessly, unchangeably. Avashaha means we do not have, none of us have any say over this situation, whatever happens. How the srishtihi and layaha, pralayaha, this, how the day comes, how the night comes, and how all the beings come into existence, manifestation happens, and how everything becomes unmanifest. This becoming manifest, becoming unmanifest is something naturally happening. Which means we do not have any say. That's called helpless situation. We cannot stop something from becoming unmanifest. We cannot stop anything from becoming manifest also. The world becoming manifest, jivas becoming coming into existence, all the jivas becoming unmanifest, we cannot bring any change in the situation, because it is something very natural. So avashaha, the expression avashaha implies our something which is naturally happening, which we over which we do not have any control. So helplessly, choicelessly, this repeatedly, all the entire multitudes of beings emerge and resolve when the night comes, and all these beings again come into existence when Brahmaji's Hiranyagarbha's day dawns. Aharagame Prabhavati. And here, the manifestation again. So the entire universe becomes unmanifest. Again, it becomes, it's only this Brahmaji's day and night is nothing but Jagataha, the universe becoming manifest and universe becoming unmanifest. When the universe becomes unmanifest entirely, we call it Brahmaji's sleep. The universe become manifest, it is Ishvara's day. Ishvara wakes up. When Ishvara wakes up means universe comes into existence. When the universe resolves, Ishvara has gone to sleep. That is why Maya is said to be Ishvara's mind. Maya is said to be Ishvara's sleep. When we fall, our sleep is Nidra and Ishvara's sleep is Maya. Okay. Ishvara's mind is Maya. When Ishvara's mind resolves, Maya is resolved, Jagat is unmanifest. The Ishvara's mind wakes up, then Jagat is manifest. That is why, and now what are we now? We're all in Bhagavan's dream. Jagat is in Bhagavan's dream. It's like Bhagavan's dream only. Anyway. So the question is, Every individual sukshma being has one's own destiny. So for all the beings to be together become unmanifest, there is some sort of sameness in destiny. So all of them become unmanifest together. It means what? All the individual beings, all the sukshmas together remain dormant, latent, absolutely passive, remain in potential condition. Again, how long they remain in potential condition? All the beings having some sort of sameness in their vidhi, in their destiny, they remain resolved and they remain in latent potential condition, dormant potential condition for 1000 chaturyugas. Again, which means when all their karmas get ready for fructification, the difference may be there, but all the karmas for them ready for fructification, when they get ready, I mean this, the Ishvara sleep and the time for it required for fructification must be the same. Therefore, again, punyam, papam, Partha karma of all the jivas are perfectly kept in order. Again, they all become manifest. That is why we said there is an order involved. This is completely, you cannot even understand how it works. There is an order involved. You are here today. That itself is the proof. About what you had in your account. I mean, relatively. Absolutely, there's no account. As Atma, you have no problem. when you talk about as a jiva, as an individual, why you are here, how you are here, with this body, with this mind, with this sense organs, with this parentage, with this background, in this situation, with these people, with these acquaintances, but the question is asked, why and how? It's all, there is an order involved. There's a reason for every small thing. There's a cause behind everything. There is an order. There is a law involved here. That's why we say that this order is also looked upon as Ishvara. So, when all the jivas become dormant, do they survive? Do they continue to exist in dormant, latent, resolved potential condition, or they are totally destroyed? So the doubt comes. And Bhagavan makes it very clear, no, nothing is destroyed. How when you fall asleep, how you are safe, you only remain unmanifest, you remain asleep. Again, you wake up from sleep, you are not destroyed. Similarly, all the sukshmas also, all the beings, they all remain safe in when Ishvara is in that 1000 Chaturyugas, all the beings remain safe, the karmas, everything is safe, nothing is destroyed. Only when the time for fructification comes and they all come back. There's no nothing is disturbed. Sahayeva means what? Not different jiva comes back. The jiva which has gone back comes back. The mind which has gone back, which comes back. There's no change. There's no destruction. Nothing is lost. Nothing is forgotten. Whatever was, is now again. All the jivas which were there before, they alone have come back assuming different physical forms. Only the relationship may change. Which jiva goes where, how, that not we cannot even make out. We cannot even understand here. But sahayeva bhutagramaha, the same group of jivas comes back. It's also made very clear in this. And the same group of jivas, the same group of jivas goes back, it comes back also. It's also made very clear here. Okay. And we do not have any say over this. It is very natural. Which means that is why we cannot say which was the first srishtihi, which is the first creation, we can never say, because there is no beginning here. And it's a constantly happening, the cyclic process. Constantly, continuously, endlessly, beginninglessly happening cyclic process. We can never say which is the first srishtihi. We can never say which is going to be the last srishtihi. Because it is beginningless, it is endless, it has been happening, it is happening, it will ever be happening. This is how Ishvara is. This is how the Ishvara's order is. And here we are part of the creation here. So we cannot bring up any change in this. That's why avashaha, choicelessly, helplessly, this is constantly, continuously, beginninglessly, endlessly happening in cyclic process. Okay, next verse. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha avyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. Parastasmattu bhavonyaha parastasmattu avyakto vyaktat sanatanaha, avyakto vyaktat sanatanaha. యస్స సర్వేషు భూతేషు నశ్యత్ సున వినశ్యతి. యస్స సర్వేషు భూతేషు నశ్యత్ సున వినశ్యతి. Isn't it very beautiful verse again? So here, paraha, paraha, tasmat paraha, tasmat paraha. Paraha means that which is exalted beyond distinct. That which is distinct. Distinct from what? No, tasmat, distinct from that. That means what? Tasmat. We have to look for another word here. Paraha bhavaha anyaha. Look at this. Paraha bhavaha anyaha. Paraha bhavaha anyaha. There is paraha bhavaha. There is exalted being. Is exalted being, paraha bhavaha, which is anyaha and which is distinct, another. Anyaha paraha bhavaha. And this exalted being, which is another, distinct from what? Avyaktat tasmat. Tasmat avyaktat paraha anyaha. అన్యః అవ్యక్తః భావః. తస్మాత్ అవ్యక్తాత్, తస్మాత్ అవ్యక్తాత్ అన్యః అవ్యక్తః భావః. వి టు అవ్యక్త హియర్, వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్. దిస్ అన్య అవ్యక్తః అన్యః పరః భావః. దర్ ఇస్ అవ్యక్తః భావః. So, there is unmanifest, and distinct from that unmanifest, beyond that unmanifest, there is another unmanifest being. What is unmanifest? One unmanifest becomes manifest. One unmanifest remains always unmanifest. What does it mean? In this context, we'll be very careful. One unmanifest which becomes manifest is subject to change. One unmanifest which is always unmanifest is what? Changeless. Therefore, it is said, avyaktaha anyaha paraha bhavaha. There is another distinct exalted being. And which is what now? Which is said here be sanatanaha. Which is sanatanaha, which is eternal. Eternal means what? Which has no beginning, no end, and no change. Beginningless, endless, changeless, eternal being, which is distinct, which is another. Distinct from what? Distinct from that unmanifest. Unmanifest. The two beings here, one, okay, paraha bhavaha and anyaha paraha bhavaha, is also avyaktaha bhavaha. And this anyaha, this other exalted being, which is distinct from this unmanifest, which is also, so it teaches the eternal, not a sanatanaha, now you say, and that one, na vinashyati. So whenever this avyaktam undergoes a change, then that paraha bhavaha na vinashyati. It does not perish. Paraha bhavaha na vinashyati. In what? Sarveshu bhuteshu. Sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu. When all these beings yama, go, resolve. In 1000, in every 1000 Chaturyugas, when the night of Brahma, Brahmaji, Hiranyagarbha arrives, all these multitudes of beings resolve, no, with all of them, sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu, what happens? Saha na nashyati, and all these perish. Perish doesn't mean, when all these resolve, they perish, what happens? Na vinashyati, then this anyaha bhavaha, this eternal, exalted, another being does not perish. I'll explain this to you again. So what is this anyaha paraha bhavaha? What is avyaktaha bhavaha? So anyaha paraha bhavaha sanatanaha. The other distinct exalted being is eternal, and that does not perish when all other beings perish. So what is that which perishes? What is that which does not perish? That is what is said in this. The 20th verse, Krishna makes it very clear. What is that which perishes? How all the beings perish? There's one thing in all the beings. All these multitudes of beings, there's one thing which is distinct and beyond these, no, which is eternal, which does not perish. Okay. Now in this verse, in the 20th verse, in this 20th verse, Bhagavan actually talks about that which does not become, does not undergo any change, does not perish. See, the matter alone undergoes change. Matter becomes manifest. Matter becomes unmanifest. Matter becomes manifest. Matter becomes unmanifest. So the manifest matter is what? And the Maya is manifest. We call it Jagat. Unmanifest matter is called Maya. The manifest matter is called Jagat. So the unmanifest Jagat becomes manifest, and this manifest Jagat becomes unmanifest as Maya. This is constantly happening. So the unmanifest Jagat, otherwise called Maya, is said to be what? Karya, the Karana Prapanchaha. Maya is otherwise said to be Karana Prapanchaha. You can, all these words are synonyms. Karana Prapanchaha, Maya, Avyaktam, Avyaktam, Avyakritam. So many words, okay? Avyaktam, Avyakritam, Karana Prapanchaha, causal universe, Maya. I would say five different words. See, Maya, causal universe, Karana, English, Karana Prapanchaha, Avyaktam, Avyakritam, Pradhanam. Because all these words are there. You know, this is unmanifest. And this unmanifest is otherwise said to be Ishvara Shakti, the power of the Lord. It is this unmanifest alone, unmanifest, undifferentiated, causal universe, always said to be Karana Prapanchaha, Maya is said to be the power of the Lord. And this power, when the power becomes manifest, we give a different name, universe. What is Jagat? Jagat is the name given to the manifest power. And Maya is the name given to the unmanifest power. So, unmanifest or manifest, both are nothing but power only. Nothing but Shaktihi only. But both are what? Subject to change. Even though Maya has no beginning, Maya has no end. So Jagat has no beginning. Jagat has no end. Jagat unmanifest is Maya. Maya manifest is Jagat. This is why Anadi. So Jagat also is what? Perennially eternal. Maya is also perennially. It also has no end. Maya will be resolved, but it cannot be destroyed. This is some, that's why it's very important to understand subtle information later on to understand the Advaita. To understand there's no creation, there's no universe. To understand that, it's very important to understand Maya here itself. Okay. Now, but what is the locus of this power? Whether unmanifest power called Maya or manifest power called universe. I use the word power here. Bhagavan does not use the term power here. Whether vyaktam or avyaktam. Vyaktam is called, manifest is called universe, unmanifest is called Maya. And for this, what is, where does this manifest or unmanifest exist? What is the locus of the manifest? Or what is the locus of the unmanifest? Karana prapanchaha, Maya. Or what is the locus of vyakta prapanchaha, Jagat? Vyakta prapanchaha, Jagat. Avyakta prapancha is, karana prapancha is Maya. Where does this Maya exist? Where does the Jagat exist? Because they both are same, one and the same. Maya is also Jagat. World is also, Jagat is also Jagat. What does it mean? Unmanifest is Maya, manifest is Jagat. So where does this exist? And what is the locus? It can't exist by itself. There must be something. So Bhagavan makes it very clear. And both manifest Jagat, unmanifest Maya exist only, you know, exist in Ishvara. Who is that Ishvara? The Ishvara is, we have to say, Swaru, Atma, Brahma. To understand later on. So, now Jagat is matter, Maya is also matter. Avyaktam matter, Vyaktam matter. Manifest matter is universe, unmanifest matter is Maya. And here, Bhagavan says, for there's something, anyaha, anyaha, sanatanaha, paraha, bhavaha. There is another being. There's another being, anyaha bhavaha, another being, which is sanatanaha eternal, and na vinashyati, which does not perish, and which is distinct, paraha, which is distinct and beyond, distinct from this maya, which is distinct from this unmanifest, manifest power called maya. Distinct from the manifest Jagat, distinct from the unmanifest Maya. That unmanifest, and here, that which is distinct also is known by the expression unmanifest. Bhagavan uses the two avyaktams, as he said. One avyaktam is Maya, which is matter. And vyaktam is Jagat. But what is another avyaktam? That unavyaktam, that unmanifest, which is exalted being, which is distinct from this Maya, the unmanifest. Okay, and that unmanifest, that paraha bhavaha is Atma. What is Atma here? The all pervasive reality consciousness. So consciousness is not distant, but distinct from Maya, unmanifest, and distinct from the Jagat, which is manifest. But consciousness also is here known by the expression unmanifest. Krishna uses two times unmanifest. Avyaktat anyaha paraha avyaktaha bhavaha, he says. very careful here. So the avyaktat stand means the unmanifest maya. And avyaktaha paraha bhavaha, that is consciousness. And consciousness is distinct from the matter, but not distant. And this, it is his consciousness which does not perish. It is eternal, eternal. Nashyatsu na vinashyati. When all the material forms undergo change, what remains changelessly is consciousness. And how can I understand there is there's only one vastu called consciousness? This paraha bhavaha, exalted being, distinct from the matter which becomes manifest and unmanifest, which undergoes a change. In this changing material forms, what is changelessly there is consciousness. That is what is mentioned in this verse. Nothing else. In all the changing material forms, what is changelessly there is consciousness. The changing material matter is one. The material forms are many. In all these changing material forms, what is changelessly there is one which is distinct, which is eternal, which is consciousness. Consciousness. So, sarveshu nashyatsu bhuteshu sahana vinashyati. In all the perishable material forms, that which does not perish at all is the consciousness which is distinct, which is beyond the unmanifest. So we need to understand as what? The unmanifest matter is maya, manifest matter is jagat, and consciousness is distinct, which is distinct from this matter, manifest or unmanifest. This is what we need to clearly understand here. See, which means how many of our times, every, even 1,000 yugas, there's a day, all the beings are there. 1,000 yugas, all the beings again resolve. But even then, what does not change perishes this consciousness. It's made very clear. So how can I understand this? We need to analyze our own, avastatraya prakriya. Our avastas. Avastatraya prakriya is very useful in this context. So we have these three states of experience. Dream, waking and deep sleep state. In waking, we are, the jagat is, our body, mansions, complex is. And in dream, also, what happens, we are, body, mansions, complex is, the jagat is, we are. But for us, the external world disappears. And there we have the dream world, the dream experience, dream body, mansions, complex. In deep sleep state, for us, there's no body is, mind is, sense organs are, the external world is, everything is there, but still in deep sleep state, everything seems to have disappeared. Deep sleep state, nothing exists for a period of time. Everything loses its status of being existent. But what happens to you when everything disappears? What happens to you? You are there changelessly. That you are actually Atma, which is consciousness principle. Nothing happens. Everything comes back and you are there. So what is there changelessly is consciousness. What becomes unmanifest, what becomes manifest is, what disappears for a short period, what comes back is your body, mind, complex and the world. But you are there changelessly. There is an example for us. It's our own, for us to analyze our analysis of this, our own states of experience will help us understand even when pralayam happens, whether death happens or mahapralayam happens, even then only the matter undergo, the material forms undergo changes, material forms perish, but whereas consciousness is there always eternally, imperishably. That fact is reconfirmed in this verse, which means the manifestation happens in time. Again, the Jagat becoming unmanifest also happens in time. So the material, the matters change is happening within the realm of time. There is a time when matter undergoes a change, when it becomes manifest, when it becomes unmanifest, when there is a Jagat, when there is, you know, Jagat becomes unmanifest as Maya, there is a time involved. But if a time is, the material changes happen within the realm of time, if a time is part of the material universe only, but consciousness is free from the realm of time. Consciousness does not fall within the realm of time. Does not fall. Consciousness is free from time limitation. It's always there. Not only that, all these forms, material forms, of course matter is there. All the material forms have their, exist also in space. Material forms exist in time, come into existence in time, exist in time, dissolve in time. And all material forms exist in a given space. No, they're not in all this, in all over. Whereas consciousness, this paraha bhavaha sanatanaha paraha bhavaha, paraha sanatanaha avyak bhavaha, which is avyaktat, distinct from this matter, is not within the realm of time and space. It is free from time and spatial limitation. Okay. Therefore, no physical law, no law which is part of, which is pertaining to the material world, you know, can limit consciousness. Consciousness is free from all this. It is distinct from everything. Therefore, consciousness has no specific location. No specific location. Why? Because consciousness is in the form of the witness, witness of what is happening. Therefore, there is no Ishwaraha, the Lord, other than this consciousness. Krishna really clearly says this fact in this verse. Paraha Anyaha avyaktaha sanatanaha bhavaha avyaktat paraha anyaha sanatanaha avyaktaha bhavaha nashyatsu na vinashyati. And that is what is Ishvara Swarupam. So Krishna makes it very clear that nashyatsu na vinashyati, that imperishable form, that which does not perish, in all these perishable material forms, who does not perish is consciousness, is Ishvara Swarupam, which alone is given Ishvara status here. God status, Ishvara status is attributed to this consciousness only. The Swarupam of the whole is Ishvara, which is consciousness. There's no God, there's no Ishvara, there's no Bhagavan other than Chaitanyam. What is that now? No? Okay. And which is It is this consciousness, you know, is mentioned earlier, discussed as Paraprakritihi of Ishvara. Ishvara Swarupam is Paraprakritihi, Ishvara Rupam is Aparaprakritihi, which is matter. What is this Jagat? Aparaprakriti of Ishvara. The Jagat is unmanifest. What is that? Maya. What is that? Aparaprakriti. What is Paraprakriti? That is Chaitanyam. It is the Paraprakritihi of Ishvara alone is mentioned in this verse as Nashyatsu Na Vinashyati Sanatanaha. No, avyaktat paraha sanatanaha avyaktaha bhavaha. Therefore, this is the actual swarupam of Ishvara. Bhagavan says now, actual swarupam of Ishvara is imperishable, indestructible. Now, whatever, in whatever form we worship, all those forms, all those names of different forms are also attributed to the formless reality, the consciousness. Only for enabling gross-minded devotee gradually grow and appreciate the actual swarupam. Otherwise, Ishvara is Arupa Ishvaraha, is attributed, Arupa Ishvara, all the rupams, all the forms are attributed to Arupa Ishvara. In between, he brings in little bit of Arupa. He only talks about his actual interest only. We can understand Hiranyagarbha is also a status. Ishvara status. It's a purple universe. Sukshma. Because Sukshma is also indestructible. Stulam. Relatively undergoes a change. Sthulam is subject to relative destruction. Sukshma naturally resolves and becomes manifest and unmanifest. But the Sukshma becomes unmanifest, we call it Maya. Because manifest, it is Jagat. And for all this, where does exist? That ultimate truth where this manifestation and the unmanifest becoming unmanifest is happening, that is consciousness. What is paraha anyaha bhavaha sanatanaha? That is ever imperishable. Nashyatsu na vinashyati. Imperishable in the perishable forms. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.